The Mad Adventurers Society presents...
You! You there in the tunic! Yes! Come closer, my friend!
No, I'm good. Hey, everybody! It's a wonderful sunny day out here in the Icarian Bazaar, full of fascinating characters of questionable repute.
Do you seek teleportation, enhanced self-propulsion, or transdimensional travel?
Maybe later. Ah, gnomes. Can't live with them. Anyway, I'd like to talk to you about a product a step above these merchant swayers, BattleBards. Featuring state-of-the-art sound design, BattleBards has the best audio for your role-playing experience. It'll make your game come alive.
Are you the saint, searching for the salve that grants everlasting life?
Not right now. Busy recording on my magical sound collector. And the sound mixer makes all your audio come together for a scene-stealing experience.
If you died whilst wearing one of these armors... You deserved it.
You just bought one. And as a listener to Delve, you can get even more audio for signing up. I'll tell you how at the end of the show. BattleBards, hearing is believing.
These here are the finest weapons ever wrought by mortal hands.
Oh, fine, I'll take a look.
Heavy battle axes from the dwarven holds of the Iron Hill.
Oh, here we go.
Deadly leaf-backed arrow.
Yep.
The elven kingdom of Thalia.
Wow, cool.
Folded steel swords from the fabled forges of Reldeven.
Today on the show, we continue talking to Breeze Grigas and Sarah Como about Aegis. Although it's come a long way in development, the initial team for Aegis was actually fairly small.
It was me, aforementioned other designer, Tom, and another designer who is still with us, Jesse. And Sarah didn't come on until 8 or 9 months in.
Oh, okay.
When we really started producing stuff, Sarah was the one that was good at arts and crafts.
Yes, I have much experience in arts and crafts, so I could kind of crank things out due to my experience in an hour that might take them, like, 2 or 3 hours.
I am absolutely awful at arts and crafts.
They're very meticulous, and they want to make sure everything's perfect, which is great.
Sure.
But you got to kind of also pump things out quickly, so
right.
I still made sure things were awesome and looked fantastic, but I just did it a little faster.
There's a lot better doing things faster. So yeah, the initial team was just basically three designers. It's
okay.
I was the creative designer. Jesse is the very heavy math guy, League of Legends, Magic tournaments. He's a database engineer by day, and
wow.
So he's just like math and spreadsheets, math.
Yeah.
And then our other guy was just very much like he was more of like a businessy guy. He knew more about the whole board game and production thing than I did.
Yeah.
By a lot. So that's basically how it started. Then Sarah came on, and Sarah's our arts and crafts person. She later just basically became our managing producer. And then Ryan, who's our sales guy, we take him to all the conventions, and he sold stuff, and he's also he actually comes up with a lot of the ideas for our other subsequent back burner games that end up becoming really good prototypes. He's our creative officer.
Creative officer, okay.
Yeah, and we have another guy, awesome guy named Bron Mitchell, come on, who's actually an esports caster. And he was
really?
He was a double up on Jesse, where he was kind of a bridge between Jesse and myself. Where he was creative and he watched a lot of anime, and he was all about like a lot of fun stuff, but then he also had like the competitive esports expertise that he brought to the table. And so a lot of our redesigning and rebalancing meetings were really, really were made very good by him. And that was the core team for a while. We've had a lot of really awesome kind of interns from our local college. We're all basically out of the same college. We go to Becker College in Worcester, and so we had a lot of underclassmen help us out over the years. They were great. But yeah, right now, yeah, the team is Sarah, me, Ryan, and Jesse at the core. Then we have another Zach Kettle, who's actually our programmer, and he's leading digital game development and also doing Aegis things.
Okay.
So yeah, there's five of us.
That seems like a pretty good size team. It also makes sense if you have five classes of robot. So I'm getting that one of you is assault and one of you is evasive.
Crap.
One of you is a guard. And
this is going to be a meeting.
Yeah.
For the next meeting, we can all discuss.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure this out. Actually, I think it might be easier. I'm going to think about this really hard.
Definitely planned it that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys keep talking. I'm going to think about this.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
So for Dell, Nathan's the evasive one. So
that's okay. I don't even know what you are. You're a support. You're a support class. I'm pretty sure. It says here support is assist the rest of the team with repairs, boosts, and long range weapons. That sounds about what you do.
That actually sounds more like you.
Evasive is cover long distances, dodge incoming attacks, and attack multiple enemies.
Yep.
That you're saying that's you?
No, I'm saying you are the guy who does the repairs for the show.
Oh, okay.
That would make you a support class by default.
That's more like tech support, isn't it?
It's same thing.
It's still support.
IT. It's very,
it's very supportive.
It is very supportive. We all need a little support in our life. Otherwise, it would be AG. There'd be no S. And that would it would throw it all off. Now, Breeze, you were mentioning that you had some other games that you were making or were in the process of making or had made.
Oh, yeah. Those are all games for the future. We have a handful of stuff that's being developed concurrently. As like Aegis is pretty much winding down in terms of designing, right now, at least.
Yeah.
Aegis is infinitely expandable, so depending on the game's success, we'll be doing more stuff with it. We'll just add many. There might be many more robots for years to come. But concurrently with Aegis, we have a digital team that's Zach and a few contractors that are making a digital game called Flora Fiora, and then we have a card game that I'm developing right now as sort of that's my pet project. We're bringing that prototype to Gen Con. And then, those are the two major projects. And then we have two other smaller card games. In terms of tabletop games, we're going to be focusing more on card games in the future because pieces ruin lives and make things very hard to produce.
And they're not very edible. You can't, they really don't, they don't
they,
work that
they
well.
Are if you make them out of chocolate.
Ooh, I like that idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah, but then you can't play the game afterward.
You make molds.
You make molten. Are you doing Willy Wonka the game or?
Yeah, right.
I don't know why there hasn't been one.
I don't know.
Let me tell you about those $1,000 molds. So yeah. So we have a few things on the side. We're still on we're just pushing right now. Like the really big focus though, in terms of like the core team, is that Aegis. Kickstarter.
Gen Con.
Yeah, we're leaving for Gen Con tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Gen Con, it's going to be great. We're going with publisher Greenbrier, booth 23339. We're right next to Exploding Kittens, which is the tabletop game that everyone's heard of.
That sounds horrifying, but I'm sure it's not quite what I think it is.
It is exactly what you think it is. It is kittens that explode. I've heard of this game. I have not played it, though.
If what you think it is like a $10 million Kickstarter, then yes, you are correct.
That is probably a really good place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we think
so. Yeah.
You gotta put a sign up that says, "Hey, you like exploding kittens? We've got railguns."
Exploding robots. You like exploding kittens? We got exploding robots.
Robot right. kitten. You gotta make a robot that's a kitten.
You need a cyber cat.
No, just a Hello Kitty mecha.
So, RoboCop Nyan Cat?
No, just a robot that looks like a kitten.
Speaking of, Aegis has a very wide variety of different robots.
Yes, there's a lot of robots.
Some of which definitely look like guinea pigs.
Yeah.
They expect cat robots in the future. I would not be above it.
Yeah. Be very wary of tabinators.
So tell us about, there are a ton of robots.
Yeah.
A ton of robots.
There are a ton of robots. 80 robots.
Why are there so many?
gotta have the, it's like Pokemon, you gotta, since you build a team of five, and it's always a team of five, if there were few robots, then a lot of teams would end up being very similar. So we figured that originally it was 60, and 60 worked out really well. We actually ended up going up to 80 because we really, really wanted four player out of the box is what we wanted. So with the new actual final release of the game, we wanted four player out of the box. We give you four commanders and 40 robots in the box. And then that's enough for four player. The game is going to launch with two boxes, a red box and a blue box, kind of like Pokemon. And it's going to have 40 unique robots in one and 40 unique robots in the other. So there actually aren't like random booster packs in the game or anything. It's almost released like one of those not trading card games. It's just we are releasing in expansions.
I see.
So are there, what's the reason, like, aside from you have so many different teams, do all the different robots have different abilities and stats and looks? And
so yeah, each class, obviously there's five classes, has kind of like its umbrella of things that it does. And then underneath the classes, there are robot makes, kind of like how cars have makes, like a Hyundai Elantra or a Hyundai Tiburon. So underneath, like, an assault class, you might have a guy who's really good at melee. But then there's also a subset of guys who are good with machine guns, and there's also a subset of guys who are good at...
ray types?
Yeah.
I do mostly the melee and then the double shooting. They shoot two machine guns, two pistols.
But yeah, so right now, in the launch of the game, there's about like 10 robots across each class, and then a bunch, and then the last 30 or so robots are combined robots. But so yeah, like under evasive class robots, we have robots that can fly, and then there are robots that can move twice, and there are robots that are just really specifically good at evasion. So it's kind of like how unlike in Pokemon under like electric types, there's various electric types and they're all kind of good at different things for different strategies, but they all are electric types.
Now I'm going to ask you a question as somebody who rarely understands most things that people say. Eventually I'm probably going to play this with Alex.
Yeah.
I imagine.
I'm going to kick your cages.
No. I need you to tell me right now, how do I beat him?
Ooh, giving away the high-level strategy.
you don't beat me, that's how.
I need the cheat sheet. Just tell me where to move and how to attack and beat him.
Run five S-types.
Okay, that works. Run five support classes. Okay.
Just run five support classes, you'll be fine.
Sweet.
It'll be
all
great.
Right, yeah. Woohoo! I am all set, Alex.
You'll have the Alex will probably Alex. You just find the hard counter to it, and then he'll cry. But I won't tell you what the hard counters are.
Rage flipping.
Is that where you take the board and you just flip it right over and you say I win?
Yeah, I'm gonna do a nuclear Tetsuji on you.
It is actually worth noting that every single robot has one, two, or sometimes three attacks. The higher level robots have three attacks, and the lower level ones have like one or two attacks to their name. Every robot's attack is personally named. So you do get really awesome sounding super robot attack names. Every robot has unique attacks.
So what I'll do is I'll get a party of people that have dual wielding, and I'll just hit you with a billion attacks.
Yes. That is a valid strategy.
So let me get this straight. You came up with specific named attacks for all 80 robots?
There's actually 92 robots, but 80 that we're launching with.
you lowballed it, Nathan.
Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, I did in fact come up with names for every single attack, and there are naming schemes too. There is thought put into these. I am very, very detail-oriented. I also did the art initially for the robots. So there's very specific art direction for the various classes. Like, only I-types have, like, tentacles and rollerball feet. And only A-types are humanoid. So I put a lot of attention to detail into building the aesthetic and the world, and it's just similar enough to like the types of super robot anime and, you know, Power Rangers, but it's not directly riffing on them. Like, it's not like, right. Oh, you're not gonna like play Aegis and just like, oh, I and like pick out a robot and you say, oh, I get it, that's just that robot from that thing, but we made it a slightly different color. No, I tried really hard to give Aegis a very unique and distinct aesthetic that is familiar enough to make fans of the genre happy. That's something that I'm actually very proud of that we've done with the game, is that it feels very much like its own thing.
Yeah, yeah, and apparently every robot is its own thing.
Yep.
And there's 92.
Yes.
I think I know exactly what the next like 5 years of your life are. I imagine that I will have you back in like a couple years, and we'll be talking about, okay, now it's the Johto League. So we have 50 new robots have been added to Aegis, and I'm going to tell you all their very specific powers. One of them is running for Congress.
That is indeed intent. There's a lot of space and a lot of ideas. We still don't have transforming robots in the game.
Do you have equipment?
It's not yet.
All right, then. You've got, there's a lot of ways you can go. You could combine combined robots. You could combine them into other combined robots.
You can actually do that already. You can take an AE type and a GS type and put them together into an AEGS type.
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
So, it all goes up. So yeah, it's the top level is having an Aegis robot. So yeah, you can actually take, as long as your robots have very different letters, you can just mash them together.
So what if I mash a bunch together and then mash those together with another one that's mashed together?
Then you probably have an Aegis class robot, because you can only do so much with five dudes on your team. I do intend to, the intent is to have more game modes. There are a few cool ones in the game right now. Like, we have all the we have some 3 and 4 player modes that we're going to push out to start, and a territory control mode, like a kind of King of the Hill thing we call point control. Mm. But yeah, the idea is I also want to expand out to game modes where you use more than 5 robots, and game modes where you just go really, really ham with just the combined robots and don't start out with the little ones.
Wow. So
there's a lot we can do.
I'm going to pitch Inception mode for you.
Oh, God.
That's just you go inside a dream of a dream of a dream of a robot. you just see.
That's where the electric sheep are.
That's where the electric sheep live.
What we're actually going to do is we're going to release a sequel to Aegis called Aegis Dividing Robot Strategy Game, where you just continuously subdivide your robots until you have many, many, many robots.
Oh, wow. That would be great.
So you start with a couple combined robots, and then you
start with
break them apart.
Most gigantic.
And then you can recombine them into different ones.
You know, this wasn't a serious idea until now.
We know that sometimes.
Yeah. I like hive mode. It's mother hive. It breaks apart.
There is this thing that Nathan and I do sometimes when we're talking to guests and they're talking about these ideas, and we go, what about this idea? And they go, ooh.
You know what?
That's actually something we hadn't thought of.
But yeah, dividing robots. I think you have something there. Because everyone's always interested in, like, evolving, like, your things and making them bigger. But, you know, no, make them smaller. Make them tiny. Microscope. I don't even want to see my robot. It's a nanite. Yeah.
We'll make the nanobot game. Where you just try to pick the board in gray goo.
Yeah. And you can start, it could be, like, a bunch of tiles, and you have to keep taking the tiles away. You don't build the tiles up. You have to keep taking them away. Like the Jenga of a tile laying game. That would be cool. Okay, that's enough ideas. Sorry. I will not pour
you. We've gone too deep.
We've gone too deep. Give me my kick. Okay.
We'll do a quick summarization. We're going to Kickstarter soon, before the end of the year.
Yes.
So that's very big, very major. Kickstarter through Greenbrier Games, greenbriergames.com/aegis to get the big scoop on how the game's doing. And also our own site, zephyrworkshop.com. We do blog posts, monthly development blog posts. Game's really good. It's about a 15 to 25 minute game for two players, and then it gets longer as you go up to four players because it's how it works. But yeah, it's made to be fast. It's made to be cheap. The game's going to retail for between about $40 and $50. Mm-hmm. And that gets you a four player out of the box, 40 unique robots per box, and the game has 80 robots total. And the game is very good for children. We've had kids ages 9 and up play it, and they seem to actually absorb the game faster than the middle-aged folks sometimes, which is really fascinating. They just immediately, intrinsically understand the game.
It's probably because of the robot themology.
Yeah, they kids just like
love robots.
It's crazy. They just get it. Basically anyone who's played Magic can understand our game about the same level of complexity. Surface complexity, probably actually a bit simpler. So if you can play Magic, you can play Aegis. If you can play Fire Emblem or Advance Wars, you can play Aegis. Kickstarter, simple game, fast game, cheap game.
Come find us at Gen Con if you're going to Gen Con.
Oh yeah, please come find us at Gen Con. We managed to nail down the most events out of all of Greenbrier's games. Greenbrier publishes many games at this point, I think probably over 10. He just has something like 9 events going on at Gen Con where people can show up and play the game, and those are almost all filled up. Booth 2339. Or if this podcast is going up after Gen Con happens, come see us in the past.
Yes.
In the past.
That's a wonderful place.
Do you have time traveling robots?
That's actually soon.
Yeah, that's coming. Okay.
By the time this is out, they will have been created in the future.
That's true. Yep.
And if you're like game store that's interested in Aegis, please contact. If you're interested in a print and play for Aegis, we do have one up on our website right now at zephyrworkshop.com. And that's going to be replaced with a better print and play with the updated art and all the updated graphic design soon, probably before the Kickstarter launches.
Excellent.
So if you're interested in all the hubbub for Aegis, you can try out the print and play.
And so the end goal is Kickstarter, and then you can have like the inbox copies go out to everybody, worldwide takeover of robots.
Yep. See if we can get the game going for some years to come. See if we can get the game going with more expansions. See if we can get the game going with some tournaments. It is a game that's basically almost designed to be very kind of tournament play-y. Well, also, you know, there's also definitely a lot of casual applications, but it is almost like a miniature MOBA on a board. Back in the day, we did a pre-release tournament back before we self-published, and that was really cool. And hopefully we can do some more stuff like that again at a local game store near you.
Alex, if you were a robot, what would you want to be?
Big, powerful, and full of ammunition.
Okay. If the folks out there would like to find more episodes of Delve, where could they go?
You can find more episodes of Delve over at the Mad Adventurers Society at www.madadventurers.com.
Yeah, Mad Adventurers is a wonderful website, has a bunch of podcasts and articles, and it updates almost every day. And while you are there, please click on our Patreon banner and become a patron for the website. You can get some wonderful things at every patronage level. However, if you are one of our $20 patrons, we will read your name on the show. And Alex, who are those folks?
Our $20 sponsors are Eric the General, Goodmania, Epochwolf, the mysterious Mr. X, as it were, and Nathan Ainsworth. Some bald guy.
You know, okay. So if the folks out there would like to find out more information about Aegis, where could they go?
GreenbrierGames.com. So if you want to see what the final production of the game is looking like, you can look at our website or Greenbrier Games' website.
We're also on Facebook, as you have to be. You can find us by searching for Project Aegis or typing in facebook.com/Project Aegis, and we update there regularly what conventions we're going to, so you can follow us around if you go to a lot of conventions. And then we have a Twitter handle. We're on the Twitter. You can find us with the handle @Zephyr_workshop. And we're regularly tweeting as well what we're doing when we're going to conventions and all of that great stuff.
And while we are on the subject of Twitter, you can also find us on Twitter. I am @Citanium.
I'm @EXP Limited, and Delve is @Delve Podcast.
Yeah, and so if you have any questions or comments, or you want to explain what robot we should be, you can go to Delve Podcast and find us there. You can also find us on iTunes under Mad Adventures as a publisher, and please rate and review and subscribe while you are there. A lot of good stuff there. You can go back through our entire catalog. There's so many, aren't there, Alex?
There are. 70 plus.
While you're trying to figure out who to vote for in the 2016 election, always vote Aegis. That's the only thing that really matters, because it's the only candidate that has robots. The two-party system does not include robots. And so for all of us here at Delve, i.e. basically me and Alex, have a good night, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night. Thank you. Everyone.
Bye. Bye. You have been listening to Underground Lake City, Lightness Shores by Richard Daskus, available on BattleBards. We thank BattleBards for sponsoring Delve. Go to BattleBards.com, create an account, make your first purchase, and during checkout, use coupon code DELVE1 for $10 and $25 packages to get a free track, DELVE2 on $50 and $100 packages to get 5 tracks, or DELVE3 for $150 and $300 packages to get 10 tracks. That's like getting a full album for free just by using the code. BattleBards.com, you'll love it. This has been a Mad Adventures Society production.